Welcome to the Junior NBA Coach's Corner. Here are your hosts, Dallin Cuff and Monica McNutt.
We are joined by Sharman Smith, coach at Cal, and Lloyd Pierce, former NBA coach, also working with Coaches for Racial Justice, and we'll get into that. Thank you both so much for joining us. So much we want to get into and kind of want to start things as we are we're seeing the light again in the tunnel as the pandemic ends. And throughout the last year and change as it relates to the pandemic, social justice, and many other issues, there's a lot of dark clouds in society and around, but sports provided a little bit of a silver lining. I want to go stay with that silver lining right now. Coach Pierce, I'll start with you. As you look back and kind of assess what took place in the pandemic and you look forward, what do you think you learned about yourself as a coach that'll help you become a better coach as you move forward out of this pandemic?
Well, personally, thanks for having me on. Personally, I think one of the things I learned about myself was there's a greater purpose of what I can do in the position that I've been in, the position that I'll be in as a coach and representing the NBA and representing a lot of communities, communities of people that look like me, communities that I grew up in and a lot of our players grew up in the NBA and WNBA. But our purpose is a lot greater than we know. And I think I was able to realize a portion of that during the pandemic with all of the off-court contributions I tried to make and a lot of the committees that I am now on and a lot of the partnerships that I've since developed that are all focused on improving those communities and improving relationships with law enforcement and really just strengthening the partnership of our players, our coaches, our owners, and what we can do to help bridge the gap with law enforcement, bridge the gap in terms of impacting our communities at a greater and higher impact in a greater and higher way.
That's all very thoughtful, Coach Pierce. Coach Smith, you work specifically amongst the college ranks and with women's basketball. How have you been stretched by this experience?
Yeah, you know, last year, and you know, we're still in it. This pandemic, it really took its toll in a number of ways. And then you add on to that, you know, a racial pandemic as well, and everything that we were going through with social justice movements and such. This was just a lot to try to navigate through, you know, for me personally and for our young women. And I think I'd say, you know, my growth is really understanding the balance and having some perspective. You know, I think we learned a lot about why basketball maybe shouldn't be the number one thing in your life, right? Because just like that, it was gone. Just like that, we had no more preparation. We couldn't be who we wanted to be as basketball players, as a team, you know? And there were so many times during the season where I had to look them in the eye and say, sorry, can't practice today. Sorry, games are canceled, you know? And to really get them to recognize all of the other reasons why they decided that this program and this institution was right for them, right? Let's focus on those things. You're still at the number one public institution in the world. You still have me as your coach. And even though I can't give you a hug the way that I'd like to, like, you know, I'm here for you and you have all of this support and all of the things that we promised you outside of bouncing a basketball, right? So to give them that perspective and have them figure out who they are when they're not a Pac-12 basketball player, I think was really valuable lessons for them and for me as well.
Sharman, on that same note, I think it's interesting. I was just talking with one of my former college teammates the other day, and we were dwelling on the lack of perspective some of our coaches had. I mean, we were pretty myopic in our approach to basketball. And when you look at that, maybe not the best thing to serve 18 to 22-year-olds in particular, young people in general. Do you think this is going to be something that carries forward as we move forward? Coaches like yourself and Coach Pierce as well, will you guys look at things maybe more holistically and your team expect that as we move forward?
For sure. I mean, for our program, for what I'm trying to build, I mean, we've always talked about it, right? Like, where do you want to be if you can't play basketball? Think about that when you make your college decision. It's always something that we talk about, but now we can point to, remember that year when you couldn't play? Remember that year when all the gyms were shut down and you couldn't get shots up anywhere? Who were you during that period and what was most important to you? How about you factor that into this college decision, right? So it's definitely going to be a way that we step through, even though we were already doing it. I think now we can kind of have you know, that experience that they can draw to. And it just doesn't sound like talk in recruitment, right? Yeah. I'm going to play. Yeah. You know, it's like, no, we've got real life experiences to back this up. And we need to think about ourselves, like you said, in a more holistic way.
I love that. Now, Coach Pierce, just to spin it to all the things that you have now created, in particular, the Coaches for Racial Justice, but working with young men that are a little bit older, there's a little bit more of a variety in age range, but the pandemic forced not only the players, but the entire league to kind of stop and evaluate how to best use their platform. And similar to Coach Smith, it feels as if a lot of that will proceed as we move forward into the future.
Yeah, I think the beauty of what the players at all levels, the WNBA, the collegiate athletes, the NBA players throughout the various sports as well, I think what they realize is I think there are a lot of people that have done a lot of good work in the community, whether it's through their foundation or where they were raised, in order to impact those communities. I think what they realize is when they work together, when they band together, when they are now leaders off the court in conjunction with the league that they perform it, they have a greater opportunity to reach further. And one of the things the NBA players did in August was shut down the league in the bubble. And it forced them to come together, and it forced them to come up with some solutions in order to move forward, but some solutions that were sustainable and lasting and really impactful. And one of those was formed as the coalition, of which I'm a member on with the NBA. It's five owners, five players, and a couple coaches, and the foundation, which is similar makeup, a different group. And the foundation provides resources, funding, education, all the tools needed to improve minority communities in terms of business, entrepreneurship, and innovation, things of that nature. And so I think they realize when they work together, there's a greater impact that they can have. And in addition to still doing the things that they've done in their foundations and with their families and in their communities.
Coach Pierce, you mentioned reach. I mean, the NBA, it's a global game. There are so many players from around the world, and that happens in the college game as well. But from the NBA level, Coach, do you feel like there's a more of a responsibility beyond just the social justice things we're dealing with in our country? That was globally, there are issues, and players are trying to reach out from a racial standpoint and other issues that are important to them. Do you feel like players are going back to their communities, or in some cases their countries, and trying to move things forward, even in a more different vein than they may have a year and a half?
Yeah, I think everything was, the impact was increased in 2020. It was a huge confrontation with the reality of what's going on, not only in this country, but in this world. And all of our players have huge social media presence. They have huge global presence from a marketing, from a business, from a fan base standpoint. But I think our players are tremendous leaders. I think they're tremendously involved in a lot of the worldly issues and a lot of the issues in our country. And I think they're now realizing how important it is for them to, if there's something they're passionate, that they feel passionate about, to speak up on it. And they now not only are doing it, but they know how to do it. And they know how to do it in a way that's efficient and effective. And so that's the most encouraging thing we see with all players. But how do you support? You know, one of the reasons why we formed the Coaches Association, the Coaches for Racial Justice, was how do we support our players when they're trying to do more, when they're trying to do better, in addition to forming an alliance, a coalition with the league? Because we know our players are passionate, they care, and they're thoughtful. And that reach that they have, it no longer is just to their communities, it's across the world. And so how do we help them is one of the challenges, and how do we support them is really kind of an essential item at this stage of the pandemic.
Mm. I guess when we kind of reflect on the year that was in 2020 or the 2020-21 season, there was a lot of learning and almost unlearning to Coach Smith that we kind of had to do. But I'm wondering if you guys see this as something that will have an impact. I hate to use the word negatively, but a double-edged sword in a way. Like, I think the idea of athletes being more holistic being and understanding all that they are outside of their sport is also there. But I think also in a practical way, our ability not to gather in the way that we're accustomed to learning and practicing the game that we love. I mean, just what kind of impacts do you think that this will have on athletes moving forward in regards to the actual playing of the game? Or is that overblown?
You know, I feel like there will be a lot of changes in the way we move about our lives due to COVID, right? But I'm not, I hope that those changes don't really seep into basketball as much, right? So, I mean, if you work at Google and you don't need to go to the office 5 days a week, that's fine. But like, I need to touch and feel my players. I need them to feel me. This is a different thing when you compete and you're trying to build something at a level that we want to build this and compete at. It's like, we need to be able to sit in the locker room and watch film and not have it be over Zoom. We need to be able to have pregame meals together and dine together. This is a family. And I really hope that we can get back to doing things in a family type of way instead of this virtual Zoom setting.
It's funny you mentioned, I just got off a call for a different event, a Zoom call, and the coach and four of his players were sitting shoulder by shoulder. And it was like jarring to me, but they had noted how important it had been. They're making a tournament run right now in men's soccer and in the collegiate ranks. And they're how important that bonding piece is now that they can actually sit in each other's rooms and hang out and they're playing the trivia, doing stuff you used to would have done before. How do you think those type of, will it be so welcome across the board to have all these to try to, will things, I guess, return totally back to normal when we get to the point where everybody's vaccinated, as those guys are? Sherman, you start with the collegiate ranks. Do you feel like it'll get back to the way it was as it relates to this?
I sure hope so. You know, will we be able to sit on the bench the way we typically do? You know, I went to a Warriors game the other night and I noticed like the way the NBA benches are so spread out and Steph's all the way here behind the basket, you know, it's like, will we be able to get back to, you know, Steve Kerr is sitting next to the fan that paid a lot of money, sit right next to the coach, right? Yep. I don't know if we'll get back to that, but in terms of how we can function at our highest level, a lot of that I do think has to go back to not a new normal, but back to the way that it was.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now it's interesting. You guys have both been in coaching for years and it seems like every 5 years or so, we hear this, oh, kids are different these days. Athletes are different these days. I do feel like in a way the pandemic has been revelatory in a positive way, because at the end of the day, Coach Pierce, athletes still wanted the opportunity to work on their craft, to compete, to get better. And when we get down to the nuts and bolts of this thing, from where I sat, at least, they were willing to do what they needed to do to put their work in. So when you hear that about generations of athletes changing, there probably is some truth to it, but I mean, we all have to adapt in order to survive, yes?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's one of those things that change is essential, and change is going to happen whether we were forced into change like we were last year or it just happens naturally. How do you do things more efficiently? How do you do things more effectively? How do you do things differently? You don't have to follow the same model or script that happened before you. You just have to find ways to get better, and everyone does it different. And I think 2020 showed us that we can do it differently and still be effective and still be efficient. Will we get back to normalcy? I think we all would like to, but that doesn't mean we have to go back to the same old ways, whether it's training, whether it's bonding. We would all like to have dinners and have team events and things of that nature, but I do think there's ways to still utilize Zoom and still utilize online presence because it's more efficient if we don't have to drive an hour just for a 15-minute meeting. So I think our players throughout all sports found, you know, what's essential and what's important. How do you get back to working and training in a way that's extremely difficult as it was in 2020? Well, they found a way. And I think they'll understand that it's important, that when it's important to do so, you have to find a way. Because when our season started at the beginning of the year, it happened really quickly and players needed to be in shape. They needed to get back into town. And so their individual training sessions were important. I think they did a great job of taking care of that on their own, not knowing when the start would be.
I want to kind of take things a little bit bigger picture as we look forward to getting back on the court and how some things may change, as we talked about. But Sherman, in the collegiate ranks, and a lot of college coaches that will be watching, listen to this, I'm interested to hear your opinion. There's massive change possibly coming for college sports overall. You've got the actual amateurism model is being argued right now in the Supreme Court. You've got NIL rules in different states, California being one of them that's going to pass in the summer, when there's both houses of Congress have bills on both sides to figure out what NIL will be. Mark Emmert the other day said he wants the NCAA back in the game to make their own rules, which should have been there from the beginning. Long story short, there is a lot of change. The transfer rule just went through. Beyond all the societal stuff we've already touched on, do you approach or talk to your team about any of these things that are coming down the pipe, particularly NIL, and how the transfer policy may impact you or your crew right now?
Yes, for sure. The conversations have to be had, right? We have to prepare. You know, as Lloyd said, like, change is coming and you have to be ready for it. I think educating the players is the number one thing. And then, you know, I try to speak to our culture and what it is, what type of player we want here at Cal, and knowing things may shift for people. There's going to be more change with transfers and such moving forward because of the rules in place. But I also believe that, you know, you can build a culture that makes it so that you're getting who you need, or you're getting the players that want to be there. And to me, that's the most important thing. You know, we went through a horrendous season. COVID was devastating for us, just in terms of our lack of preparation. You know, I had six freshmen, so they didn't know how to get ready on their own. They had never been through anything like a Division I basketball season. So they were not prepared, right? And four sophomores. And so it was a lot. But all of these changes are happening. I will say I'm very proud of the fact that not a single player from my roster is in the portal right now after a season that was extremely challenging. So do I think that'll be the case moving forward every year? No, I don't think so. And I'm prepared to adjust and, you know, adapt. But I am really trying to have a culture in which people feel like they belong here. They feel like there's a place for them and, you know, that they want to be here. I think that's really important.
Congratulations on that, Coach Smith, because that is quite impressive. But I actually want to dig into that a little bit from both of you. I mean, both of you were outstanding athletes at your time. You're now in the coaching space. And the notion behind this transferring is that kids are quitting, right? And it may there be an inkling of truth there, perhaps, but is there also probably a larger story? So just what advice would you give, and I'll start with you, Coach Pierce, to parents and student athletes as they're making decisions about institutions, and if they are considering transferring? Because I am one who transferring wasn't an option from my parents when I got to school, but I do understand that it is a different climate and you got to do what you believe is best for you.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, again, we talk about change being essential. If the rules allow it and that's what it's made for, then you have to adjust to that. And I think for some institutions, it's favorable for them to have players leave, and for some coaches it's favorable to keep those players and not have them leave and do what you need to do. And so the adjustments of who you recruit, who comes through the program, communication you have about what their expectations are and how you can help meet those expectations are important. But similar to free agency at the NBA level and at the professional level, the rules are now adapt to where players can make those type of decisions. And if that's the case, then, you know, by all means, you know, you have to look at the other side. If a player is unhappy and it's just not working out and they're stuck, you know, there's unintended consequences that can occur from there as well. So, you know, we just have to adapt. You have to adjust. It's really critical to all of us moving forward and for each program, for each team, for each league to get better. And I think that's just where we are. Eventually, there'll be a loophole of that and we'll have to make an adjustment. I think at the collegiate level and the free agent level, I think there's, you make the next adjustment, but for right now, that's where it is.
Coach Smith, I'm just curious on your advice.
Yeah, you know, I think it's all about why you're making the decisions you're making to attend institutions, right? I think that's really important. And I think that's why we've gotten to where we are with the transfers being at record numbers, right? It's gotta be that you've really done your homework. And you understand, are you going for the coach? Are you going for the school? Are you going for the bat? Like, what are your reasons for making that decision? You know, and, you know, my own personal experience, I played at Stanford. I sat on the bench for 2 years, right? And I did not think that I should be on the bench. Like, in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, Tarvin, what she was doing. But, you know, when I was there, I was like, this isn't fair. Like, I'm not getting a chance. Like, you know, and I was frustrated and I wasn't going anywhere. I was busting my butt to figure out how I could find my place, my purpose on this team, right? I cared about the academics. I loved the institution. And, you know, my junior and senior year, I was a starter and we were, you know, in Final Fours and I found my way. It's not going to be that way for everyone, right? And so if you're sitting on the bench and that's what's most important to you and you feel like you don't care about the degree and, you know, you don't really like the people that much there. And so, okay, fine. Then you should go, right? But I think there are, everyone's situation is different. I do think instant gratification is something that's really popular right now, you know, and I think that that needs to be addressed. I think parents need to understand that. And we talk to our players about coming here and, you know, earning that degree and having that be something that can change their lives moving forward. And so I don't really want to have a culture of free agency. And well, she didn't get her degree from Cal. She didn't get hers. You know, it's important to me. I value being at an elite academic institution. I do. And I want to try to give that, you know, that experience to the student athletes that come through here. If it's not a great fit, then we'll have to move on and figure it out. But that's what I'm preaching in the living room to try to get them to understand why being here and staying here is important.
Yeah, Coach, totally agree with you. I mean, overcoming adversity, we all have to do it to achieve things, whether that be when we were players or now as coaches. I'm sure you guys had to overcome things as you moved up the coaching ranks and as people are watching that aspire to be in the seats that you guys are in right now. Coach Pierce, I'll start with you. Is there a certain instance or story or experience that you had to overcome, a challenge that was presented to you that you found a way to overcome that helped you build on that and eventually get to the point that you are now?
You know, similarly to what Coach just talked about, you know, you go through your first couple of years in college. I played behind Steve Nash in college for 2 years. And we had another guard, Marlon Garnett, who was really good. And you come in and you look back, say, should I have redshirted? Should I have sat out? I think my 4 years in college was the greatest 4 years that I've been through. And my relationship with my college coach is still tremendous. And every player that I play with is still tremendous. And I think what it does is it sets precedence of what you expect and how to go about your life. Adversity is something that I embrace, that I look forward to. I'm actually going through it now as a fired head coach. It's part of the journey. It's part of the challenge. It's why you're in competitive sports. You know, there's a challenge, there's a journey, there's something that you go through, but the reward is so much better when you've overcome things. And so I look forward to the reward, but I enjoy the journey. I enjoy the process a lot more.
Coach, just to follow up on that, what do you think you took away from your experience at the Hawks? What do you think you move forward with?
For me, it's really just understanding leadership. You know, not everything is going to work out how you plan it, and not every level of communication is going to be what you think it is. And so how do you embrace those challenges and try and get better? You know, when you're in a position of leadership, you get to make decisions, and not every decision that I've made has been correct. And so it's really, you know, the humility, the humble aspect of that is how do you get better? Not pout on what didn't go right. How do you get better? How do you improve yourself before looking at others? And so as a coach, I'm always trying to figure, I'm my biggest critic, but more importantly, I enjoy getting better. So I take the experience and I say, I've been in a leadership position. I really enjoy making those type of decisions. And when I didn't make the right decision, how could I improve on that? And I think that's the challenge. And I think that's also the joy of the job. You know, as a coach, I got into it because I liked helping others get better. And sometimes you plant the seed, but you don't get to see it all the way grow. But you want to make sure you're continuing to plant seeds every step of the way.
I love that. And I love the statement, adversity is at the heart of competition. That's one I got to put in my big book of Proverbs. Coach Smith, same question to you though, in terms of what experience or opportunity in your coaching career has in particular stands out as something that helped make you better?
Wow. You know, I think what I went through last year, it's like if it, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger type of thing. I mean, my first season was the 2020 season and came in with a really young group and we did some good things. We you know, knocked off some ranked opponents and had momentum towards the end of the season. And then, you know, COVID hit and I had six freshmen, as I mentioned, coming in and I had three season-ending injuries to starters and was in a position where much of the year I had six recruited scholarship players that were healthy. And we took a beating in the toughest conference in the country. And up until the last week and a half of the season, we hadn't won a game. So for me, it was a lot. And I just continued to show up. And I had young women who were, hey, coach, how you doing? Like, excited to see me every day. And there were times where, like, I didn't know if I was going to get through it, you know, and I did. And I'm just reminded now that, like, whatever it is that we're going through, first of all, I don't know that anything can be as rough as what we experienced in this past season. So moving forward, just knowing that I got through that, and again, got through that, and my whole team still wants to be here with me, you know, it is an amazing feeling. And it gives me a ton of confidence moving forward. And we've had our share of adversity, and I feel like now it's our turn to, you know, just build and get to where we're supposed to be.
I love that from both of you guys, because I think sometimes as players, or I know I did, you're like, the coaches, they getting paid. Like, they're fine. Like, their life is good. I'm the one having to run these drills. Are you kidding me? Like, this is but overall, we know the challenges of the past year, you guys, and it can be sort of heavy. But I just, before we wrap this thing up, I want you to give us, I use this on media day, so I'm spinning it forward, maybe two words that you think are imperative characteristics for you guys as coaches moving forward as we look post-pandemic, as we deal with whatever the changes that may be the result of the pandemic. And I hope, for as thoughtful as you've been, and Dallin and I certainly appreciate it, but I hope there were still reasons to smile this past year. Like, I just think, you know, smiles became so much more valuable because it was such a challenging year. But if you could give us two characteristics that you believe are imperative as coaches move forward. Coach Pierce, we'll let you go first.
Two, huh? You know, for me, it's joy. And I think everything we've been through as coaches talked about, the ups, the downs. I don't know if we'll find anything more difficult than 2020 and even the start of 2021. When we come out of this, you have to keep your joy. You have to find your joy, and you can't let anything take your joy away. When we get on the court, when we get in those meetings, on those in those practices, the joy for the sport has to be there. It's essential. And for me, the other part is just the character. As Coach alluded to, you know, as she's recruiting and trying to build her program, really defining what type of person she wants to recruit ultimately comes down to character. And I enjoy coaching. I love coaching. I love competition. I love doing it with people that have high character. And, you know, I think that's important, but it's important for me to exemplify the character as well in order to attract the character.
Go ahead, Coach Smith, because you got 60 seconds.
I know, quickly trying to think. I mean, it's tough. I mean, the things that come to mind right now, like having perspective, you know, I think allows you to keep your joy, right? I think perspective is a big one. And then compassion, you know, and dealing with 18, in my position, dealing with 18 to 22 year olds, like they need to know that you care about them. So I think those would be the two things right now that I'd say.
Perspective and compassion, joy and character. Coach Pierce, Coach Smith, we thank you so much for your time. We truly appreciate your perspective and your insight. Perspective again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Monica and I, myself, Alan, we'll have you guys covered on the Junior NBA Coaches Corner podcast for the weeks to come. More great conversations with coaches like the ones we've had today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join Monica and Dallin each week on the Junior NBA Coaches Corner. For more, go to juniornba.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.